No one is meant to be living here in a concrete sea. Everyone, including me, wishes he could be set free.
Hi, Terry Jacks, and you're listening to Radio Eco Shock.
And then I looked into the ocean blue, 'cause it's so deep and it's so quiet too. There's just too many people everywhere.
Well, we're talking with singer-songwriter Terry Jacks, who's practically a fixture on the oldies stations for all of his hits, including Seasons in the Sun and others. But I remember visiting your house quite a while back and finding a lot of gold records you wrote for other artists. Listeners might not realize what a prolific songwriter you were, as well as a performing artist yourself.
Well, most of the songs I wrote, well, I wrote all the Poppy Family songs, and then a few of my songs, and the people I've worked with, Anonymous Scurry and the Beach Boys, and I produced and arranged Chilliwack's first big hit, Crazy Talk. That was actually on my label, Goldfish Records.
Well, that seemed to be a golden age of record making, and I think that's why they keep being replayed. I came to you today partly because of a song that I heard on station Concrete Sea, and it was one of the earliest Green hits that I can think of. It was really the beginning of something, I thought.
Concrete Sea, that was, yeah, one of my first environmental songs I wrote, I guess. I wrote that, I was coming in, I lived in Horseshoe Bay at the time, I was coming into Vancouver and I wasn't really looking forward to it. And I heard a song in the radio that I just said, this guy doesn't even know what he's talking about. And that's the way the song started off, you know. I heard some music being played today, I heard a song but the words were wrong. And what else did it, and it said, doesn't really matter anyway, some people don't know, really care what they say or something, I don't know. It was something like that. I was in a bad mood, and I was upset about Woodfibre at the time because they were way over their permit as far as what they were doing them, pumping into our air and water, and it was just one of those times. That was way back in about 1970, I guess.
So that was a pulp and paper company, and you became something of an activist at the time about that, didn't you?
Well, that's when things started bothering me. I just didn't understand how these pulp mills, you know, like in Howe Sound, Port Mellon and Woodfibre, how they could be destroying our water and our air, and like, which is supposed to be, you know, everybody's supposed to own our water and air. It's not just for, you know, shareholders and heads of companies. You know, I understand there has to be jobs and we have to use paper and wood, but they weren't doing very much to actually, avoid pollution, and it got to me. In later years, as you know, I got really involved. I spent about 15 years, you know, wondering why the government was allowing these people to not follow their permits. Whereas, you know, I always said that when I drive my car, you know, the government would always tell me they're doing their best, but these were laws. And I came back with, well, when I drive my car and speed, I can't tell the cop I'm doing my best. I get fined. And you people don't seem to enforce any of our environmental laws, and that still sort of goes on today. Government seems to be in bed with these guys, and it's too bad, you know, what's happening.
Well, it's happening in many places of the world, these pulp and paper mills, and they say they've improved somewhat, and I think they have added some technology, but then what they do is they double or triple their production, so they're putting out the same amount of junk into the water and the air. It's terrible if you live around one of those things.
No, you're completely right, and what's worse is, you know, at one time I took the Minister of Environment in British Columbia to court, and I also took the pulp mill at Port Mellon. And the reason being was because, you know, they cleaned up their water, as you say, a lot. A lot of the dioxins and furans have been cut down. But our previous government had promised to rid the mill's use of chlorine compounds, and it was going to happen, as you know, in 2001, 2002, but as soon as this government came in, they just changed the whole thing around and set the whole process back years and years. And the worst thing is, Alex, is that, you know, like now, instead of pumping this crap into the water, they're burning it. So we're getting these dioxins and furans and CO2 and SO2 and all this junk in the air, and it's not even being monitored. You know, it's randomly monitored maybe once a year, but, like, it's unbelievable. So now it's these dioxins and furans, they go up into the air, and these are the most, you know, toxic compounds made by man. They're actual, as you know, cancer forming.
Yeah, and they're in everybody. They're in my blood, Terry, and they're in yours, and they're even in the blood of whales up in the Arctic.
You're so right. And now it goes into the air, and it rains down on us and goes back into the water anyway. And the only way to rid a lot of these is, you know, that the pulp mills, that one dioxin, what is it, 2,3,7,8-TCDD, it's, once it gets into your body, it just never leaves. And one trillionth of an animal's body will cause a cancer. And the cancer rates are certainly not going down. And yet these guys are still continuing using these chlorine compounds. And anyway, I get riled about this stuff, and I know you do too. So did you want to talk about music or what?
Well, a little bit of mixture of both. I'm also interested, you were telling me earlier that you're kind of disconnecting from things. You're not on the net right now. I know you've generally tried to live by the sea, and you're back there, aren't you?
Right. I've lived on the sea since I've been 19 years old. Now I keep going further north. I live up the Sunshine Coast now, and I've got property up on Haida Gwaii. I've had it for a long time up in the park up there, Nikoon Park, and that's my ultimate paradise. I just love that place. I've been up there so many times, 20 times. So I started out in Vancouver, then West Vancouver, then Horseshoe Bay, then Sunshine Coast, next stop, Haida Gwaii, you know, and that's where I want to live my final years up there, Alex.
Well, you're moving away from the crowd and the concrete sea.
That's right. As I was saying, I'm just trying to simplify my life, and I've eliminated cell phones and even internet. Those kind of things can drive you crazy, and I'm obsessive compulsive, and it would drive me crazy.
Well, I'm still connected, and it is driving me crazy, and I have to do what you do. I tend to go out camping and get away for a couple of months of every year, and I'm totally disconnected. I don't talk to anybody or read any of the news, and then I come down a little bit, and I'm ready to fight the dragon again.
Yeah, that news really gets you. You get addicted to it. It's really. I've been doing a project, though. Get back to music. If you want to talk music a little bit, I haven't been producing and arranging and writing for, a few years. And I started working with this girl 3.5 years ago. She writes, she plays guitar, and sings, and she's really good. I'm just going back to get her a deal back east next week. Her name's Jana Keeley, and she's really good. And that's been really exciting. I really miss doing my music because that's what I like doing the best.
Has she got a website where we can follow her?
Actually, she does. She's sort of putting one up herself. So you could look up, it's Jana, J-A-N-A, Keeley, K-E-E-L-E-Y, .com. I think she's just starting to put something up herself. But, I've just finished this album. And so I'm going back, and I don't know when it's going to be out. By the time you get a deal and they do promotion and stuff and everything, it'll probably be, 5 months or something. It takes a while to do this kind of stuff, but it really turned out well.
There are a couple issues I wanted to ask you about. Something I've been puzzling about. I just did a feature on a guy named Derek Jensen, and he's down in the States, and he's saying, well, the previous generation has really screwed it up, that the climate's going out of control, the whole civilization is out of control. And so, really, the only way to save nature is to take down civilization. And there's a little bit of a hint that if violence is necessary for the revolution, well, that's great. And I'm just this old-time pacifist. I can't get it out of my system, sort of a Gandhi kind of guy. And I'm wondering how that earlier generation of the 70s, which also thought that the suits were out of control and warlike, and we needed a revolution to solve it. We never got that revolution, but we changed some things. And are we going to see a new wave of young people picking up that kind of 70s feeling, do you think?
Well, one of the big troubles I find, what's going on now, is like our governments are becoming so ripe, especially here, like in B.C., and they've, the environment, again, is on the back burner. Everything's push economy. Let's drill for oil in the waters. Let's, rip down all these trees. And, it's not really anything to do with jobs because they're using more automation all the time. It's to do with greed. It's, you know, well, if you check the statistics, the rich are getting richer here and the poor are getting poorer. And it's harder. The public really cares about our air and our water and all this stuff. It's really, you know, the environment, they really care about it. But the government and the big industry heads, you know, the CEOs and all that, they're all working together. And they are the shareholders, and they're the directors of, you know, our newspapers and our television stations and everything. And they're controlling everything. And they're keeping the environment out of the news. And yet the people would love to really be involved and hear in this and hear about it and do something. But they can, because, you know, as I say, you know, you can't get through. Like, you know, for years we didn't have with this Campbell government, he dissolved the Ministry of Environment. We didn't even have an environment minister.
That was incredible, wasn't it? Well, we've solved the environmental problem. We've just closed the environment ministry. There you go.
Yeah, that's really right. And you look at Georgia Strait now, what's happened, you know, like all the fish have gone, and it's awful, you know. Jacques Cousteau said that this was going to happen primarily because of the pulp mills, what they were doing, and it did happen. And it's, I don't know. I mean, we need a revolution, but it's hard sort of, how do you unite all these people? Because as I say, papers, media, all media and government are all sort of like controlled by the same people now, you know?
Well, sadly, that was the same situation in Nazi Germany. I mean, Hitler had control of the newspapers totally. The new medium of television started out. The first big speech was by Adolf Hitler. So we have seen situations before where the media repress things, but it just seems incredible to me now, as the whole scientific world warns that we're heading for a disaster, really. Even the most conservative scientists are agreeing with us now, and yet the Bush government in particular, and now Mr. Harper in Canada, are backing away from Kyoto. They're saying, oh, we don't need controls, and I think it probably has to get worse before it gets better.
Well, the Bush government and governments here in BC, like who, or no, BC, well, I guess BC, and Canada, and federal government, look who is running them, really. Industry is running them, you know? There's only a few companies in the world that are running the world right now. It is getting pretty scary, I tell you, Alex, real scary.
It is, and we're also seeing in the United States what they call the Green Scare, where people are being arrested, and some of their actions, if they did them, I would disagree with, for example, arson. But I think the real point in that is that they're going well beyond those couple of dozen people and questioning environmentalists going way back, building up big databases and using all their money they got for terrorism after 9/11 to fight environmentalism at the very time that we need it most.
Yeah. It's you know, that's why I'm doing this musical project right now, because, you know, it's, you know, your hands get so tied. I just don't know what to do as far as the environment goes anymore. You know, it's being all sewed up by, as I say, industry and government, and they're all just working together. And but the people, I think, you know, want something different, but they're being controlled now completely.
Well, but we're also going along with it, and I include myself in that. You know, I know what's going on, and yet I still get in my car and drive around, and sometimes just to see what's going on. I know I'm wasting energy. It's hard as one person to make the changes. We try in our own small ways, but I think we're going to have some sort of wave of public anger, perhaps, and dismay and determination to save the world, literally.
Well, government loves to point fingers at the little guy, you know, like saying, you know, the fishermen are taking all the fish. Well, that's not the story, you know. The fish are, their habitat's been destroyed, you know. As you know, like, they leave little beauty spots along the main rivers, but all the little creeks and stuff that run into them, all the arteries, it's like, and if you block all the little arteries that go to your heart, you know, the mainstream one is going to die too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're killing our rivers by just and the habitat of our fish, and you know, they love to say, you know, the main problem is the government. They are not putting things in place so that they are not running. They're looking after themselves and the big companies, and we're suffering. It's just I don't know, but I do know what I'm talking. I'm just getting upset. I just haven't talked like this for quite a while. As they say, I'm doing some music right now just to give myself a rest.
Well, music saves a lot of us. I can think of many a time when I'm disturbed about things. I put some music on, and somehow it can bring you to a feeling of not only your inner self, but that we could have a better world.
No, we certainly could, without a doubt.
So
I don't know the answer.
Well, for some of us who've been fighting for a lot of years, I think part of the answer is now to enjoy as much of nature and the time that we have as we can.
We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun, but the hills that we climbed were just seasons out of time.
Where do you see, you were talking about Haida Gwaii, how would you like to live up there? How do you picture Terry Jacks as the years come on?
Well, I love to travel. I still do television, quite a bit of television in Europe, by the way, in Germany and Norway and England. And when I go over there, because, like, Seasons in the Sun, it's still the, you're probably aware, it's still the biggest-selling single by a Canadian artist.
I did not know that.
Worldwide. It sold 13 million records just as a single, not an album. I think Celine Dion has the biggest-selling album. But it gives me an opportunity that when I travel, I can get in to see these environment ministers in these different countries because they're all about my age now, and they all remember the song. And I get in there, and I do my part. And, like, it was really interesting. When I talked to the Minister of Environment in Norway, I was in there, you know, talking to him about, you know, they're still, you know, killing whales.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out leaving kind of, I left there almost feeling foolish because, first of all, he said that, look, we know exactly, they only eat one whale. They actually eat whales there. They've been eating whales for hundreds of years. But they only eat the minke whale. And the minke whale, you know, they know exactly how many are going up and down the coast in Norway, and they only take a certain amount. And there's more going up there now, he told me, than there were 50 years ago. And they only take a few, and the people have been eating them for years and years and years. And they have complete control of what they're doing. They don't take any of the larger whales. And my only comeback was, well, whales are a mammal, and they're smart, and we can learn from them in the ocean. And he says, yeah, but, you know, like, look what you're doing over there. You're still cutting all your old growth down. We made those mistakes years ago, and you people are still using, you know, ancient pulp and paper production methods, which we learned years ago, you know, destroy our water. And your fish farms over there, you know, our fish farms, we made big mistakes years ago with the method which we were using for fish farms. And you people are doing all these things that we learned. You should have learned from us and not be doing them that way. And, like, I didn't have much of an answer. He said, we eat this whale meat. We control it. We only use the one type of whale. And these whales are abundant all along the coast in Norway. And he said, we've come up with one problem, though, because the blubber, we don't know what to do with, because we will not sell it to the Russians or the Japanese or anybody for oils or for perfumes, because then that does not look good in the eyes of the world. So we have to find out some method to do with the blubber, because right now we're storing it and we're freezing it in huge warehouses, and we've got piles of this whale blubber. But, So I don't, you know, you can't really blame them. They've got the number one standard of living in the world, Norway does, way ahead of us. They've got the, you know, as far as longevity in life, they are number one in the world. And we're making a lot of the mistakes that they made years ago, and we aren't learning from them. And, you know, I didn't have much comeback when I talked to him. You see what I'm saying?
I do. You know, my personal feeling is that you have to take it on a broader view that, that when somebody's wailing, then somebody else says, well, we want to wail too. And those people may not be as disciplined or as aware as the Norwegians are. Now, you know, there is some Aboriginal whaling has been going on up in the north of Canada, for example, for bow whales. And those people have been surviving on that meat for, well, we don't know how long, a long, long time. But when it comes to, for example, the Japanese who are just turning their whales into pet food and various other countries who just go out and grab one, they don't care what it is, even if it's endangered. So it's a tough one, I agree with you. But when you come to saying that Canada is just not really any green icon, we're very wasteful people as Canadians and North Americans generally. And I wish we had a better way of learning what's going on in Europe, but again, as you say, our media really don't tell us this. There's just so much happening in Europe in green action that we never hear about here in Canada.
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, they've made the mistakes years ago, and we don't learn from them. But, you know, I'm not promoting killing whales by any means at all, but I'm just saying, you know, like when you get into what Russia and Japan do, and they're killing all, you know, all the whales, you know, whether they're blue finbacks, all that. But, you know, it's there is no shortage in the world of the actually minke whale, which they're not endangered by any means in Norway. But that's never explained by the media to the world. Norway's thrown in with everybody else.
Do you think some of the Europeans think that North Americans and Americans, I suppose, in particular, are kind of crazy in a way? I mean, they have, you know, all the lakes in Germany, there was a point where you couldn't swim in any of them. They were just toxic with industrial pollution and acid rain. And they've made a somewhat of a comeback, and they're building a lot of wind power. Look at wind power in Denmark. There's just so much going on over there. And they must look over here in just despair. I mean, we're the biggest polluters, not only per capita, but just, I think about 25% of the world's global warming gases come out of us here in North America.
No, you're completely right. We're considered still a frontier because, you know, we're a lot newer place than Europe. And we're still being, you know, our land and our water and everything is still being raped. Eventually it'll be, what has happened to Europe, what has happened to Germany and Norway. And no, we just, as they say, it's greed. The bottom line is greed. It's always greed. That's all it is. It's got nothing to do with the workforce, because the workforce is continually, chopped apart by automation and, you know, like one person taking two people's jobs and downgrading it. Anyway.
Or we just ship.
I don't want to get upset today. I'm just, as I say, I was just.
how does Terry Jacks find peace, knowing what you know?
Without a doubt, it's through nature, and it's through, I'm a Christian. I've gained a tremendous amount of strength from being a Christian, and that's why, you know, I mainly was interested in being a steward and trying my best to protect what God has given us on this planet, not destroying it. So that's where I gained my peace from, and I'm a project person. I do one thing at a time. So I was telling you, I'm just I had prostate cancer, but that was completely fixed up, and everything, it's amazing, you know, like what they can do now if you catch these things early enough, and I'm completely well, and everything works, and I got it early, and so I'm just right now just recuperating from that major surgery, and I'm getting happier every day.
Well, that's the way we've got to do it. And I think that there's a way that happiness has to be part of environmentalism. I mean, if we're trying to save nature, we have to really enjoy it. I mean, there are days when I walk out and the sun is bright and the air feels good, and I'm just happy to be alive.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. Well, Terry, I really appreciate your taking the time to talk with us today. We've been speaking with Terry Jacks, the famous singer and songwriter and environmental activist living up on the Sunshine Coast of British Columbia. So thanks again, Terry.
All right, Alex. Thank you.
All right. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Radio EcoShock, all environment radio, all the time. Tune in for free at www.ecoshock.org. That's E-C-O, shock like an electric shock, .org. So here's one of the original green protest songs from the early 70s, Terry Jacks and Concrete Sea.
I heard some music being played today. I heard a song, but the words were wrong. It didn't matter to me anyway. Some people really don't care what they say. I started looking to the sky today, 'cause it's so big and it's so far away. I've got too many things inside my head. I wish that I could be up there instead. No one is meant to be living here in a concrete sea. Everyone, including me, wishes he could be set free. And then I looked into the ocean blue, 'cause it's so deep and it's so quiet too. There's just too many people everywhere. I wish that I was down there. No one is meant to be living here in a concrete sea. Everyone, including me, wishes he could be set free. I heard a story being told today. Wishes he